Let's bow together, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that we have the freedom to come and assemble in your presence. We thank you for your holy word that's been handed down from generation to generation, and that through it you continue to speak into our lives today. Father, we ask that as we open your word and study it, that only those things that are of you, that are in line with your word and are inspired by your spirit, would go forward and be heard and understood. We ask that all that is of man would be lost along the way. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of four preachers who gathered for coffee one day, and they were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it was closer to the original Greek and Hebrew. Still another liked the Contemporary Version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. A fourth minister sat there quietly, which is hard to believe for a minister to sit there quietly, but it was silent for a moment, and then he said, "I like my mother's translation the best." Surprised, the other three men said, "We didn't know your mother translated the Bible." "Yes," he said, "she translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I've ever seen." Well, today's Mother's Day, that time of year when we pause our regular activities and pay tribute to our moms. Generally on Mother's Day, we look to a passage like 2 Timothy that speaks about the religious upbringing of Timothy. That portion of scripture that pays tribute to the impact his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois had on his spiritual upbringing. Another familiar passage we consider is for Mother's Day is looking to the Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 31. There we find the writing titled "The Wife of Noble Character." And in that portion of scripture, we find reference to a wife and mother's determination to work hard, to stand up, to support her husband, to provide for her children, and to earn a godly reputation in the community. As much as these passages help us gain a positive view of a godly mom, there's another passage that paints an excellent picture for us, a picture that's worthy of consideration on this Mother's Day. Unlike the two scriptures I just mentioned, our reading for today neither mentions the mother's name or makes reference to her family as a whole. Rather, she's simply referred to as a Canaanite woman. Yet this woman, this mother, demonstrates by her actions some life lessons that are appropriate today for godly moms. If you have your Bibles there, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. As Diane read for us at verse 21, the Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." The first thing we need to note is, and this account points us to the heritage or citizenship of this woman. The scripture tells us that she was a Canaanite. If we remember Old Testament history, we'll recall that the Canaanites were ancestral enemies to the Jews. These two people groups had nothing to do with each other. The people of Canaan worshipped idols, and sadly in time, in complete opposition to God's word and teaching, many of the Israelites married the Canaanites and began serving their false gods. The sinfulness of the Canaanites and their ungodly behavior of some of the Israelites caused a long-standing animosity that carried on for generations. This woman, this Canaanite, this mother was the last person one would expect to find coming to Jesus, a Jew, asking for her assistance. Or his assistance, her actions would be seen by most as sheer boldness. And looking back to the scripture lesson, we find the reason this mother was willing to cross the boundaries of sort. It says, "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Now, we don't know the sort of situation the woman's daughter was in. All we know is that she had some major problem and a problem that was ruining her life. And her mother, determined to see her daughter's life restored, believed that Jesus might be the one who could address the problem. Notice also how she addresses Jesus. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Although her understanding of Jesus' identity was not complete, she knew enough about him to believe that he was one who would have compassion. She knew he was from the house and lineage of David, and she knew he was the one who should be addressed with the title of Lord. One scholar points out a critical truth in this passage. Even though some thousand years may have passed since the days of King David, some of the Canaanites would know and remember, quite possibly believe, the history. They would remember that David was chosen of God, and if Jesus was following in David's line, he too would be chosen of God. And if we look back to the scripture, we find Jesus act out of act rather out of the ordinary in his response to her plea. In verse 23, it says, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out for us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. See, Jesus remembered that his first responsibility was to bring salvation to the Jews. They were to be his primary purpose and focus. Jesus was also raising the issue to see what response he would get from this Canaanite mother. Did she understand that Jesus' initial mandate was to the Jews? Would she give up easily and walk away? How might she respond to Jesus' challenge? Well, not to be easily deterred, the Canaanite woman goes one step further. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Notice the mother's even getting closer to Jesus. She's just not calling out from a distance. She came close to him. She knelt before him in an attitude of reverence and worship and addressed him as Lord. Still refraining from granting her request, Jesus makes yet another rather peculiar statement. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Now remember again that at this time Gentiles or non-Jews were referred to as dogs. They were seen as unworthy or unacceptable in the sight of God. And Jesus, in his response to this Canaanite woman, is saying, should I give bread, should I give healing and wholeness and deliverance to those that are unworthy when my own people have such great need? The mother, unwilling to be pushed away or rejected, responded with great wisdom and insight. She said, yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, I'll take what you have to offer. Notice the woman is not disputing that her purpose, that her people, the Canaanites, are living outside of God's will. She's not disputing that she has no right to come to Jesus. She's not disputing that he has the right to reject her plea. Rather, she simply responds, suggesting that she, like the dogs that roam the streets, might be the recipient of a few crumbs, so to speak. She might be the recipient of a portion of his generosity. And she's willing to accept whatever sort of blessing or intervention or mercy he might be gracious enough to offer her. And Jesus, seeing her faith, her humility, and her perseverance, looks into her heart and life with love and compassion and responds, saying, then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, given that little snapshot into the interaction between the Canaanite woman and Jesus, what messages can we find that are applicable for us on this Mother's Day Sunday? Well, I want to look at this idea of lessons from the Canaanite mom. Mothers stand up for their children. Mothers cry out to the Lord on the behalf of their child. Mothers demonstrate their faith, and mothers are relentless in seeing God's hand moved. The first lesson this Canaanite mom provides us with is the need for a parent, or in this case, a mother, to stand up for her children. Remember the setting in this situation. Women did not approach or speak to men in public. It was neither common practice or seen as acceptable. Yet this woman spoke up for her daughter. Remember also that this woman was a Canaanite. Had she been a Jewish, it might have been somewhat acceptable, but not for a Canaanite. This woman, this mother, ran the risk of being reprimanded or rebuked. She ran the risk of public embarrassment or scorn. But ignoring all the risks and obstacles in her way, this Canaanite mother, this woman, stood up and spoke up and stepped up on behalf of her child. This is so important to happen even today. Children need to know that when the chips are down, their parents, in the light of today's theme, their moms, still stand up for them. Author and preacher Dr. James Dobson, in his book Dare to Discipline, speaks at length about the role of parents. As the title of the book would suggest, parents need to be willing and prepared to be unpopular sometimes and discipline their children when they're in the wrong. Anybody ever been an unpopular parent? Anybody still sometimes an unpopular parent? But going hand in hand with the role of disciplinarian, godly parents also need to be ready, willing, and able to stand up for their kids. Kids need to know they can count on their parents to speak up and stand up and go to bat for them. Children need to know that their parents are willing to take risks and be seen as uncool. They need to know that their parents will always be in their corner no matter what the ramifications might be. This Canaanite mom knew that she was running the risk of ridicule and rebuke. She knew there could be harsh and far-reaching ramifications if she approached Jesus and called upon him to intercede for her child. But this mom was more concerned about the well-being of her child than she was her own personal safety. The first lesson we glean from our scripture this morning reminds us that godly moms, like the Canaanite mother, need to be willing to stand up for their children, whatever the cost. Looking back to the scripture lesson again, we see that in spite of her limited understanding and incomplete faith, this woman, Canaanite mother, saw the need to cry out to the Lord on behalf of her child. Author Howard Hendricks, in his book, Heaven Help the Home, speaks of how many times in life parents cry for their children. It's normal for a parent to cry for their child when they're sick or injured or making poor choices. Moved by compassion, parents often cry for their children. Crying out of passion, compassion does little more than show empathy, but the wiser, more effective act would be to cry out to the Lord for our child. He's the one who can hear and help and intervene. He's the one who can bring healing and wholeness and restoration. Tears on their own give evidence of pain without hope. Tears before the Lord open the door for the movement of his hand. The second lesson we glean from our scripture lesson reminds us that much like the Canaanite mother, godly mothers and grandmothers need to earnestly and fervently and persistently cry out to the Lord on behalf of their children. Looking back to our scripture reading again, we find our Canaanite woman mother offer a third lesson, a lesson rooted in faith. This mother, in spite of her limited understanding of Jesus, had enough faith to step up and cry out and kneel before him, pleading for mercy. She had enough faith to reach out in hopes that Jesus would respond. This mother had enough faith to not give up when her initial response was not answered in a favorable manner. This mother had enough faith to persevere until Jesus responded and out of mercy granted her request. Today, as in the days of the Canaanite woman, we need mothers that demonstrate their faith. Faith to not give in or give up. Faith to keep on seeking what is best for their children. Faith enough to storm the gates of heaven until God hears and answers. Many godly leaders of the past have been richly blessed by what they learned from their mothers. Consider the biblical characters of Moses and Samuel and Timothy. The maternal influence experienced by these leaders bore rich fruit in their lives. Think about men like Augustine and John Newton and the Wesley brothers. Their names probably would never dot the pages of history had it not been for the godly women that raised them. These men may well never come to the saving knowledge of Christ had their mothers not known the Lord and made seeing their children come to faith one of their greatest priorities. Boys grew into honorable men because they were raised in a home where the love of Jesus and a Christian presence was present and demonstrated and taught. Susanna Wesley, for moms that think you were overwhelmed at some point, Susanna Wesley had 17 kids. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? She spent an hour every day praying for her children. I'm sure she spent an hour every day just trying to find peace. But in addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, who were responsible for the Great Awakening in England back in the, I'm not sure how many years ago. If you look in your back of your hymn book, you'll see that Charles Wesley wrote a great many of the hymns that we're accustomed to, and his brother was a great itinerant preacher. But Charles and John were used to bring the gospel to England and much of North America. And here's a few of the rules that Susanna had in training our upper children. Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. I like this one. Teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Command and reward good behavior. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. If we look back to the scripture lesson for a moment, we see that the Canaanite mom didn't have her request granted the moment she made it. She didn't simply snap her fingers and see Jesus jump up in full agreement. She had to persevere and be determined and be relentless. She had to continually call out and plead and speak in humility. And in time, Jesus heard and received and honored her request. Today, like no time in history, we need moms who are relentless in seeing God's hand move in the lives of their children. How many of us are here today because we were blessed with mothers who loved them and prayed for them and had a desire to see them come to Christ? Many of us. Many of us are here today following Christ today, living the life Jesus called us to live as a direct result of the prayer and influence and intervention of godly moms. The world has changed a great deal since the days of the Canaanite woman and the life of Susanna Wesley. In many ways, the responsibilities heaped on a mother are constantly increasing. Now more than ever before, mothers need not attempt to face their challenges alone. They can embrace the trials of parenthood under the power and the authority of our loving God. And as committed followers of Christ, mothers of any generation can look to the challenge of parenting and lay claim to that promise of the Apostle Paul, who said, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." A beautiful story is told of a boat out on the sea. It was a small fishing boat carrying a father and his daughter. They were returning from a long day of fishing, and they were overwhelmed by a violent storm which threatened to destroy them. The coast was dangerous and their lives hung in the balance, and the mother, safely protected from in their little cottage, knew what was needed. She lighted a lamp and started up the worn stairway to the attic window. Coming to the top of the stairs, she placed the lamp in the window and dropped to her knees in prayer. Out in the storm, the daughter saw the glimmer of gold in the distance. Pointing it out to her father, she reminded him of mother's promise to put a lamp in the window to light their way home. "We will steer for that light," the father said, and slowly but steadily, batting great winds, they came toward the light, and at last the boat was anchored in the little sheltered bay at home. "Thank God," cried the mother as she heard their familiar voices and came down the stairway with the lamp in hand. "Given that dreadful storm, how did you get home?" she said. "We steered by your light," answered the daughter. "We knew that your light would bring us home." On this Mother's Day Sunday, we pause and we give thanks for moms. We give thank God for those who raised us up. We forgive those who maybe weren't all they could have been. We pray especially for those who are carrying the mantle of motherhood and grandmotherhood today. There is a precious and essential responsibility. And we need to pray that, like the Canaanite mother, women today will not, we need to have mothers today who are willing to stand up for their children no matter what the cost. They need to be women who will cry out to the Lord on behalf of their children. They need to be women of great faith and undying courage. They need to be women who will set their children on the path to see them come to the Lord. I'd like to ask all the women that are here to please stand. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, all of you ladies, please stand. Some of you are mothers, some are grandmothers or great-grandmothers, some of you are stepmothers, some of you are aunts, but you all play a key role in influencing the generations that are coming after you. Whatever your title, whatever your role, know that you are being used of God to impact others for Him. Know that as long as you have breath, you have a purpose and a calling and a ministry to fulfill to those around you. Please bow together as we pray for the women of our congregation. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the busyness of life. We are reminded to pause and pay tribute to those who have done so much for us. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the women present today. Thank you for their gifts, their heart, their blessing they are to so many people in our lives. Continue to guide them and strengthen them and equip them. Continue to remind them what a blessing they are to us and how precious they are to you. Father, use each one of them for your glory. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing "All the Way My Shepherd Leads Me." Please stand, guys.